Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Today, we're going to do something we've done often in the past as we try to help one another live in a Christian way in the midst of a culture that is becoming more and more non-Christian, more and more open to un-Christian ideas, ungodly ideas. And that is, in this particular case, with respect to abortion. Now, whenever we talk about the topic of abortion, I am reminded, certainly know that many, perhaps, of our listeners have had abortions in the past, or maybe have taken a girlfriend or wife to get an abortion, or encouraged someone else to get an abortion, and now live to regret that decision. And so I want to be always mindful when we talk about anything in people's past, in my past for sure, perhaps your past as well, that we have a gracious God, a God who promises us in Scripture that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. As the Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we want to just assure one another of that, that we don't need to, as we look at our past and have things that we've done that we regret, that are against God's will, we don't need to try to justify ourselves. We don't need to try to say I was forced into that, or that may have been true at the time. We may have felt forced into that, or encouraged into that decision by others. We don't have to blame others to try to justify ourselves. We can just go to the foot of the cross, and there's Jesus dying for you and for me, so that when I confess my sins to Him, I receive full and complete forgiveness. There is no condemnation, and the same is true with you. And what a great wonder, what a great joy that is. We want to always keep that in mind, particularly around this topic of abortion, because in my experience in counseling people who've had abortions in the past, there is a great weight of guilt and shame that goes along with that, which of course the world doesn't tell us about. They just say, oh no, you can just go ahead, have an abortion, it'll be fine, but it's not fine. And we have to live with that the rest of our lives. So I want to certainly take time as we begin here talking about this topic to assure you of God's forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and forgives our sins. What a beautiful, beautiful scripture that is in 1 John chapter 1. That said, we need to be aware then of what is going on in our culture with regard to abortion, specifically here in Nebraska. Here in Nebraska, there are now potentially two amendments to the Nebraska State Constitution that will perhaps be on the ballot in November of this year. And so we need to be aware of what they say so that we can be informed ourselves and so that we can help inform others. Now, we did a podcast on the first of these that came out. It was a pro-abortion initiative, a very extreme pro-abortion initiative. We did a podcast on this back on March 19th. It was episode 80 of our Eagles on the Hill podcast. And if you want to get a deep dive into this particular radical, extreme abortion position, and well, this will likely be on the ballot in November. They've gathered the signatures, paid some people to go get the signatures to put this on the ballot. And so we need to be aware of this. Let me just go through it briefly. You can find out more, as I said, back on March 19th, episode 8080 of Eagles on the Hill. But let's just go through it briefly. This is what the ballot initiative says. All persons shall have a fundamental right to abortion until fetal viability or when needed to protect the life or health of the pregnant patient, without interference from the state or its political subdivisions. Fetal viability means the point in pregnancy when, in the professional judgment of the patient's treating healthcare practitioner, there is a significant likelihood of the fetus's sustained survival outside the uterus without the application of extraordinary medical measures, unquote. Let's just again briefly go through this, a reminder of what we did back on March 19th. So first of all, this concerns all persons. In other words, any person of any age, doesn't matter who you are, 12-year-old, doesn't matter. Any person has a fundamental right to get an abortion. Well, that certainly is a problem. Eliminates any parental notification, any parental rights whatsoever for teenage girls as they might become pregnant and want to seek an abortion. So they're making a decision there that could have long-term consequences, as we just talked about, with the guilt and shame that goes along with this. They are not ready to make that kind of decision, and we need to protect them. But anyway, this amendment would not protect them. All persons have a fundamental right to abortion until fetal viability. Now, the problem with this is, what is fetal viability? Well, they tell you what it is. Fetal viability is the point in pregnancy when, in a professional judgment of a patient's treating healthcare practitioner. In other words, what you notice here is there's no doctor necessarily involved. Whatever the healthcare practitioner is, that person makes the judgment as to whether this baby in the womb is viable outside the womb without extraordinary medical measures. Well, is a NICU extraordinary medical measures? I think so. Wow, NICU, the care that these babies receive in the NICU is beyond typical medical measures. It's extraordinary. Certainly around the world, it's extraordinary. And so what does this mean? This means that a non-physician can judge that this baby in the womb would not live outside the womb, even up to whatever, seventh, eighth, ninth month. Doesn't matter. They can choose, and abortion can be procured without interference from the state or any of its political subdivisions. So that means all the laws that have been passed in Nebraska up to this point to try to protect women, to try to protect children, all those laws go away if this is added to our Constitution, everyone. And in addition, if the abortion is, quote, needed to protect the life or health of the pregnant patient, well, let's take health first. Well, let's do pregnant patient first. That's easy enough. As far as I knew, only women can get pregnant. But, of course, in our day and age now, I guess, based on this change of our Constitution, men can get pregnant. And so now, if this passes, in the Nebraska State Constitution is a basic statement that men can get pregnant. Okay, so, well, if you believe that, then I guess vote for it. To protect the health of the mother, well, this exception of the health of the mother has been historically used throughout our country, since Roe v. Wade was passed many years ago, to protect the health of the mother has been used as kind of a, you could drive a semi through it in terms of the amount of exceptions that have been made based on this. So I have a slide here that kind of gives us five bullet points that are problems with this particular amendment. Number one, it will allow late-term abortion on babies who can feel pain in the second and third trimesters. Nebraska currently does not allow that. Number two, it will allow abortion throughout pregnancy, which we just said. Health is determined solely by the abortionist, who stands to earn money from this if they do an abortion, and can include non-medical factors such as mental, spiritual, financial, or familial health. In other words, like I said, you can drive a truck through all those possible exceptions that abortion can be obtained. Number three, it enables abusers and traffickers by eliminating parental notification requirements. This is a problem for our young people, and we need to protect them. We are the adults, hopefully, in the room. We need to protect our children. Number four, without interference from the state, eliminates all the laws regulating the abortion industry, including women's health and safety requirements. Every law protecting women surrounding abortion is eliminated by this amendment. And fifth, viability is determined solely by the abortionist and would not include any baby who may need extraordinary medical measures, such as a stay in the NICU. All right, so we've kind of gone over that. Because of the radical nature of this proposed amendment, just incredibly radical, and because what we've seen happen in some other states already is that people are deceived by the publicity surrounding such amendments and vote for it even when they're against abortion, and these kind of amendments have passed in every state where they've been tried because of the fear of this amendment passing in Nebraska and just doing irreparable harm to women and children in Nebraska, a group of doctors has gotten together and put together a countervailing amendment to the Constitution of Nebraska. And so what's going on now is there are people out gathering signatures to try to get this other amendment on the ballot in November also. Now I'm going to read this amendment and talk about why I think it's something that we need to get on board with, but also share with you some of the challenges and problems, the difficulties, my angst with it as well. But we don't live in a perfect world. So let's take a look at this amendment. It's called Protect Women and Children, is what the amendment to the Constitution is called. And here's what it says, quote, except when a woman seeks an abortion necessitated by a medical emergency, or when the pregnancy results from sexual assault or incest, unborn children shall be protected from abortion in the second and third trimesters. Okay, so it's a lot simpler, a lot shorter. First of all, you'll notice that we're talking about women here, not pregnant patients. So we got it right in terms of who can have babies. What this basically does is says that abortion in Nebraska by constitutional amendment will be outlawed in the second and third trimesters beyond 12 weeks, with these exceptions: when there is a medical emergency or when the pregnancy results from sexual assault or incest. So what that means is, if this amendment passes, abortion will be legal in Nebraska prior to the 12th week of pregnancy. So let's talk that through. Let's think about that. First of all, let's go through a similar list to what we did in the previous with the previous horrible amendment, and see what this amendment is trying to do. It's trying to, number one, protect women, children, and babies who can feel pain while allowing Nebraska to continue to grow a culture of life. Number two, it's trying to establish a minimum level of protection for preborn babies in the second and third trimesters, and allow for greater protections in the future. So those things are key. It's trying to establish a minimum level of protection. It's not the protection I'd want fully, but it's a minimum level of protection, certainly far, far better than that other amendment by a long shot. And it also allows us as Nebraskans to continue to work for greater protections in the future. Number three, it is trying to put together common sense regulations that protect women's health and safety in place. In other words, there's been a lot of protections for women in the past that have been voted on by Nebraskans, by our legislature. All those, as we said, would go away with that other amendment. It's trying to keep those in place. And number four, it's trying to safeguard parental rights and ensure that parents have a say in their daughters' lives. So there you go. That's what it's trying to do. So some questions about this, one of which will address some concerns that I have with it, some angst I feel about it. And I'll just tell you where I land on it. Number one question, what happens if the pro-abortion amendment passes and this limiting abortion amendment fails? If the pro-abortion amendment passes and this pro-life amendment fails, then, as we said, every restriction on abortion in Nebraska would go away. Every protection for women regarding abortion would go away. All of that would be lost. It would be an absolute tragedy if the pro-abortion amendment passed and this pro-life amendment failed. That is in part why I have signed the petition to get this on the ballot. Number two, what happens if the pro-life amendment passes and the pro-abortion amendment fails? Well, actually, this pro-life amendment, so we're calling it that, it's actually a limiting abortion amendment. If that passes and the pro-abortion amendment fails, really nothing happens in Nebraska, because all this pro-life amendment is doing is putting into the Constitution what is already in the laws passed by the legislature of the state of Nebraska. So it's really not doing anything different than what the legislature passed, but it's putting it into the Constitution, which makes it harder for those who favor unlimited abortion on demand. It makes it harder for them to change those laws, change the Constitution, and start having abortions in greater numbers in Nebraska. All right. Number three, if I am truly pro-life and this pro-life amendment passes, will we be able to make any more legal progress on outlawing all abortions? Well, this comes close to my concerns. Number one, my concern is that I am truly pro-life. I believe that, as many of you do, I'm sure, that God gives us life. That the words in our Declaration of Independence, that we have the right to life, those words are true. That God gives the gift of life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death. That's what I believe. So this amendment then is not fully pro-life. It's not fully what I would want. My hope is it's not fully what you would want. And yet, a lot of times in culture, as they say, politics is the art of the possible. A lot of times in culture, in life, the perfect can be the enemy of the good. In other words, You can keep going after perfection and never even get to the good. Is this amendment at least good? Well, it's better than nothing. It's far better than if the pro-abortion amendment passed. So because it is good, not better, not best, not perfect, but good, because it's far better than the alternative, far, far better than the alternative, that's why I signed to put this on the ballot in November. Would I like it to be better? Absolutely. Am I conflicted about it a little bit? Yes, I am. But that's, I'm just being honest with you. Maybe you are conflicted as well. I think there are some Christians who will say, I am not going to sign this petition to put this on the ballot because it's not where my heart is. It's not good enough. And I think there is room for disagreement among Christians about this. And I respect those who would disagree with me about this. And I would ask for your respect as well if you differ with me. So, and I also think it might make it a little more difficult in the future to make legal progress on outlawing all abortions. However, if, as has happened in, I believe, 7 other states, these kind of pro-abortion amendments pass, it becomes almost impossible to get any restrictions on abortion, almost impossible to do anything to try to bless mothers and children. So I desperately don't want this pro-abortion amendment to pass, and I'm willing to settle for the good, even though it's not perfect, even though it's not perhaps the best as I would like to see it. So there you go. A couple more questions to close up. What if they both fail? Well, if they both fail, we're just where we are today. And of course, the pro-abortion people who want to make abortion legal through 9 months of pregnancy will keep going. They'll keep going at it. We'll have to keep vigilant. What happens if they both pass? Well, if they both pass, I believe that the one that receives the most votes is the one that becomes part of our Constitution. So we'll need to work doubly, triply hard to be sure that this pro-abortion amendment certainly gets fewer votes than the pro-life amendment. Last question, what if I already mistakenly signed a petition to put the pro-abortion amendment on the ballot? I've heard people have done this. Then they find out later what they signed because, as I said, the people who are promoting this pro-abortion amendment are doing it in a deceptive way to get as many votes as possible. If you've already signed the other petition, that's okay. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. But you can also sign the petition. You can also sign the petition to put the pro-life amendment on the ballot also, because you are not, by signing that other petition to put the pro-life amendment on the ballot, you're not voting for it. You're simply asking that it be on the ballot, which is the same thing you did if you signed for the pro-abortion amendment as well. You didn't vote for it. You just asked that it be on the ballot. And I know you probably feel bad about that now, but nothing can be done about the past. So there you have it. We likely at Christ Lincoln are going to have opportunities in church to sign this petition to put the pro-life or limited abortion amendment on the ballot this fall. And you can sign it if you'd like, if you feel so moved to do so. If you feel that it doesn't go far enough, that it's not pro-life enough for you, I want to respect your opinion on that and ask that you respect mine and others as well, as we have opportunity to try to wrestle and live out our Christian lives in the midst of a world that's on fire, in the midst of things that are going downhill quickly. We have opportunities and we need to take them as we find them to be able, as God gives us a clean conscience, to be able to work as salt and light in our culture. And I would encourage you to do that. If you want to find out more information about this, the Nebraska Family Alliance is a great place to go. NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org is a great place to go to find out more about these different petitions, these different amendments, proposed amendments to the Constitution. You can find out more there. I want to encourage you to write me at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. That's eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. And let me know your thoughts on this. And also let me know if you have some other topics you'd like us to talk about on the podcast. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.